Translation. Lord Krishna saved his foster father, Nanda Maharaj, from the fear of the demigod Varuna and released the cowherd boys from the caves of the mountain, for they were placed there by the son of Maya. Also to the inhabitants of Vrindavan, who were busy working during daytime and sleeping soundly at night because of their hard labor in the day, Lord Krishna awarded promotion to the highest planet in the spiritual sky. All these acts are transcendental and certainly prove without any doubt his godhood. Purport. Nanda Maharaj, the foster father of Lord Krishna, went to take his bath in the river Yamuna in the dead of night, mistakenly thinking that the night was already over. Thus the demigod Varuna took him to the Varuna planet just to have a look at the personality of Godhead Lord Krishna, who appeared there to release his father. Actually, there was no arrest of Nanda Maharaj by Varuna, because the inhabitants of Vrindavan were always engaged in thinking of Krishna, in constant meditation on the personality of Godhead in a particular form of samadhi or trance of bhakti yoga. They had no fear of the miseries of material existence. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is confirmed that to be in association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead by full surrender in transcendental love frees one from the miseries inflicted by the laws of material nature. Here it is clearly mentioned that the inhabitants of Vrindavan were extensively busy in the hard labor of their day's work, and due to the day's hard labor, they were engaged in sound sleep at night. So practically they had very little time to devote to meditation or to other paraphernalia of spiritual activities. But factually they were engaged in the highest spiritual activities only. Everything done by them was spiritualized because everything was dovetailed in their relationship with Lord Sri Krishna. The central point of activities was Krishna, and as such the so-called activities in the material world were saturated with spiritual potency. That is the advantage of the way of bhakti yoga. One should discharge one's duty on Lord Krishna's behalf, and all one's actions will be saturated with Krishna thought, the highest pattern of trance in spiritual realization. Well, Varuna's pretty bold, isn't he? He knows that Nanda Maharaj is very dear to Krishna, but nevertheless, he arrests him. You have to be pretty bold to do that. Just like if the policeman stops someone for speeding in their car, and then he recognizes, oh, it's the son of the chief minister. And he says, okay, all right, you can go. He's, you know, well, I could get in trouble for arresting him, even though he is breaking the law. If he's very bold, he might arrest him anyway and stand on the strength of the law. But no, he did something wrong. It should be according to law. Even if you're the son of the chief minister, you should be punished. Of course, according to Krishna's transcendental laws, there's transcendental, I guess you could say, transcendental chamchagiri, something like that. Yeah. In which Krishna, he absolves his devotees from any sinful reactions. That's chamchagiri, that's a different thing, because chamcha, people, sycophants, they approach people who desire to be flattered. And they flatter them, and those persons are satisfied, and they get some benefit from. So it's a relationship of mutual exploitation. But Krishna's interaction with his devotees, there's no exploitation. That is the difference. People ask that, well, what's wrong if we also dance with other people's wives? Krishna was doing. But there's a great difference. One major difference is that we do so for this, whatever we do in this world for sense gratification, that is meant for exploiting others. Whereas in the relationship of Krishna and the gopis, neither want to exploit each other for personal sense gratification. They both simply want to give pleasure to the others. Krishna is trying to give devotees, they act for the pleasure of Krishna, and Krishna acts for the pleasure of his devotees. So Varuna, he was bold enough to arrest Nanda Maharaj. His boldness, we can conjecture, also arises from his feeling of safety that Krishna knows what I'm doing and why I'm doing it, so he's not going to punish me. I'm doing it for this. I'm doing it because I want to see Krishna. So even though I'm doing something wrong, I'm arresting Nanda Maharaj, it's right according to the rules of the universe. He can do it. Because Nanda Maharaj transgressed a rule that one should not bathe in the middle of the night in the sacred river. So he tried, but then the great devotees of Krishna, they're not subject to the rules of the universe. What's that? So then again, Varuna was wrong in doing so, but he did so because he wanted to get the darshan of Krishna. Akrura, his name is not very popular in Vrindavan. He's a great devotee of Krishna. He came to Vrindavan as a messenger of Kamsa. Before that, there had been so many persons sent by Kamsa to Vrindavan. All demons, every one of them. And Krishna killed them all, one after the other. And Akrura was also sent by Kamsa. But Akrura was assured that Krishna knows why I'm coming. Krishna is in my heart, he's in everyone's heart. He knows that I'm coming, even though I'm coming as a messenger of Kamsa, I am a pure devotee of Krishna. So Krishna won't punish me. He was confident in that relationship. So Varuna, he wanted to see Krishna, so he made some arrangement to do so. That he took Nanda Maharaj, and he knew that Krishna will come. He'll definitely come if I arrest his father. He might even be angry with me, but angry or anyway, let me bring Krishna. There are several instances during Krishna's manifest pastimes in this world of devotees doing something that they shouldn't do just to bring Krishna. In Navadvip Dham, there was a king by the name of, when Krishna was on this earth, there was a great devotee of Krishna by the name of Samudra Sen. And great devotee of Krishna, so he would like to see Krishna. So at this time, all the four Pandavas were sent in different directions prior to the Rajasuya Yajna of Yudhishthira Maharaj. They had to conquer all directions. So Bhim, he was sent to the eastern side. And coming to Navadvip, he thought, yeah, well here there'll be no problem, because we know Samudra Sen, he's a great devotee of Krishna, and he sides with, definitely he's not going to give any obstacle to Yudhishthira Maharaj, so this will be it, there'll be no problem here. I will meet him and we'll be friends and he'll give his tribute. And he was surprised to see when he came that Samudra Sen was lined up with his whole army ready to fight Bhima, because the condition was for the Rajasuya Yajna that all the vassal kings, they had to accept the emperor's supremacy, then only the Rajasuya sacrifice could be performed. So the four brothers, the younger brothers of Yudhishthira Maharaj, they went in four directions, and either the various local kings submitted to them, or they forced them to submit by fighting with them. So Samudra Sen, he fought, and he fought like anything, and Bhima was surprised how furiously he's fighting. And he was fighting so terribly that the famous Bhima got in trouble. And Krishna, knowing this, came to the battlefield to assist Bhima. And as soon as he came, Samudra Sen saw him. Oh, that's just what I wanted. And he stopped fighting. And Bhima thought, well, all of a sudden he stopped fighting. Then he's friendly, welcome, please come. That was very strange. Why did you fight? Well, I just wanted to see Krishna, that's all. So he came to my kingdom. Of course, Krishna is always in Navadvip. He's always everywhere, but particularly in Navadvip Dham, he's always there as Gauranga. But there's another example. Another famous example is that of Mahavishnu, who's also Krishna, but he's in the role of a devotee. Sorry, he's Krishna, but he's also all the forms of Krishna. They also think of themselves as servants of Krishna. So he went as far as killing the sons of a Brahmana, giving a bad name to the Pandavas, because the Brahmana was insulted. Not only the Pandavas, more to the Yadu dynasty and Krishna himself. Because the Brahmana was saying, there are no kings in this kingdom. They are all sinful. They're all so useless. They can't. They're so sinful that I'm a pious Brahmana. I never did any sin. It's not my fault. It must be the king's fault. These Yadus, they're simply enjoying the throne, but they're not able to discharge their duties. What is the use of this Arjuna with his Gandiva bow he's so proud of? He's just a completely useless person. So in this way, the Brahmana was, rightly from his perspective, blaspheming Krishna and all the Yadus and the Pandavas. And Mahavishnu arranged all that just so that Krishna would take Arjuna through the coverings of the universe and go and see Mahavishnu, who's also in his expansion within the heart of everyone. So, in one sense, he could also see Krishna from within. He's also non-different from Krishna. But he wanted to bring Krishna to his own abode. So he did that. So Krishna was very busy during his pastimes in this world. He was busy means it's all fun for Krishna. Everything's fun. Krishna jatek khela, that sarvatam naralila. Among all Krishna's play, Krishna is only playing. Among his plays, the topmost is his human-like pastimes. So Krishna is simply playing, but by his playing, he also effects so many wonderful things. He says, yada yada hi dharmasya glani bhavati bharata abhutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. He comes to rectify the imbalance in the universe. When there is a decline of dharma and an increase of adharma. So Krishna does that, but he does it in a manner which is all play. It appears to be all playful activities. He's enjoying himself. Always enjoying. But at the same time, he affects so many things. By the activities of Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Tatushkritam. By pleasing the devotees and destroying the non-devotees, he also enjoys himself in so many ways. But he's busy. He's playing in the forest, but at the same time it's busy. While he's playing in the forest, he's killing so many demons are coming one after the other. Prabhupada in one place commented that practically every day some demon was coming. We hear about the famous ones, the big demons made it to the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Keshi and Arishtasura, Vyomasura, Bakasura. These are the famous ones, but it seems there were many others also. And Krishna was daily killing them out of fun, just like young boys. They get together and for fun in their games they play cops and robbers or fighting in the armies. They pretend, I'm a king, this is another king, and they have two armies and they have a mock fight. But Krishna, he doesn't have a mock fight, he has a real fight and he really kills real demons. But it's all fun for the cowherd boys who he's with. And still they think he's just Krishna. They love him, but they don't think he's very great. Every day when they're coming home from the forest, all the demigods will come and offer prayers, and then the cowherd boys will come up to Krishna also and imitate the demigods in fun. That, oh, Krishna, you're so great. You're the Supreme Lord. Ho, ho, ho. They think it's a big joke that the demigods are offering prayers to Krishna. The demigods take it very seriously. So Krishna was very busy during all his pastimes in this world. He visited so many. Of course, we mostly hear about Krishna's Raja Leela, Mathura Leela, Dwarka Leela, then Kurukshetra. He went twice. But there are so many other places he visited also while he was here. He visited on this planet in this Bharata Varsha. We just mentioned he visited Navadvip. Then all those places in between. In between Kurukshetra, especially in between Dwarka and Hastinapur, Krishna went up and down so many times. So that area became greatly blessed by Krishna's going back and forward. Then he also went to Varanasi and destroyed the whole place, to Mithila to visit his great devotees. Then to Kundina, which is the place of... Kundina is the place of... Anyone know? One Raja, Bhishmaka, and his daughter's name is Rukshmani in Gujarati, you say. Rukmini. And then also in what is presently known as Maharashtra, one other famous place he went to, not mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, but it's famous throughout all of Maharashtra. The devotees, they visit there. Amaravati, no. He might have visited there. Pandharpur, that's the place of Pundalik. So, that. And Balaram, he visited so many places on the pretext of absolving his sin of killing Romaharshan Suta. So, yeah, and then here it's described how Krishna even went to other planets. He went to the planet of Varuna. He went deep into he scoured the whole ocean. So all the living entities in the water, they also got benefited by seeing Krishna. Then when did he go in the ocean? He was traveling around the ocean. He came here. Avantipura. So he came here, and then after he was here, his dakshina he gave to Sandipani Muni, that his dead son was returned. So then he went in the ocean. Then after that, then again, his mother, Devaki, she was saying, well, you brought back Sandipani Muni's son, what about my son? So then he went to another planet. Which planet? He went to the planet of Yamaraj. Yeah. No, actually, for bringing the son of Sandipani Muni, he went to the planet of Yamaraj. Oh, about Avantipur, I just read yesterday, someone else from Avantipur was Pallad Maharaj in his previous life. It's mentioned there was a pious king, and one of his sons were also pious, except one of them, who later became Prahlad Maharaj, and then that whole thing in the Nrisimha temple. And so, another Puranic reference. There's probably many. All of India is just full, all the holy places, there's so much history. It's transcendental history. In the Gorya magazine, I saw one article called Paramarthik Bhugol, Spiritual Geography. So we should also teach geography in our schools. This is Avantipur, this is the history here. And there's so many places. I mean, you take any present-day state of India, and every place is full of Puranic references, so many things. So we're talking about Krishna. He's very busy in all his pastimes. And even just as he was about to leave this world, he told Uddhava that, I wanted to go to Badrinath. I have so many devotees there, but I didn't have time. I was just too busy running around here and there. And, you know, and then I'd come back to Dwaraka and all my queens would chastise me that you never spend any time with us. You're always running around here and there looking after your devotees. But we're also your devotees. You should spend some more time here also. So he was very busily playing all his pastimes. And he eventually sent Uddhava to Badrikashram to instruct the sages there. Krishna, didn't fit his heart. I had so many things to do, I couldn't fit it all into my schedule. So you'd better go there instead of me. So he was very busy, and here it's stated that the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they were also busy. They were very busy, all day working so hard. Now, in the beginning of Shukadeva Goswami's instructions, he refers to attached households. Divachartheya rajan kutumba bharane nava. They spend their whole day simply working to maintain their families. And apashyatam atmatattvam. They don't see what is spiritual knowledge. They're blind to the understanding of the soul. Now, it appears that, according to this verse, that the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they were like that also. They were working very hard all day, and at night they would go to sleep because they were very tired. So they weren't doing any meditation, they weren't discussing what is the purpose of life. They were just working hard. They didn't appear to be even particularly spiritual people. They could be called what you might nowadays call pious Hindus. Means they worshipped. Nanda Maharaji used to worship Indra, and they would sometimes go to some holy place. They would visit some holy places. But you don't find, just like I said, you don't find Nanda Maharaj sitting around talking about Atato Brahma Jignasa, what is the purpose of life, and you don't hear how he's thinking of retiring and becoming a sannyasi. No such thing. They were just working hard. Now the result of that, generally we learn from Srimad Bhagavatam, is that just like we were saying, Nati vidur swartagatim hi vishnum durasha ye bahiratamanin. They don't know that the ultimate goal is Vishnu, and therefore they're simply hoping they'll be happy in this material world, but they're not happy. It's a hopeless hope. Durasha. So, generally, te pisha tantram uru dam nibadha. Such persons are tightly bound up by the ropes of material nature. But we find that the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they were working hard, and like pretty much everyone else in this world, simply thinking of the kutumba bharane, how to maintain their children. But they attained the result of being elevated to the topmost planet. Now, how is that? Well, there's a difference between ordinary people and the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Because ordinary people are matya na krishne paratasvatova mito vipadyeta grihavratana. They're grihavrata. They're simply dedicated to household life. And the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they appear to be like that, simply dedicated to household life. But ordinary people, they are determined never to be Krishna conscious under any circumstances. Whereas the inhabitants of Vrindavan, even if somehow or other they decided that we don't want to think of Krishna, which they would never do, they couldn't stop thinking about Krishna even if they tried. Of course, once the gopis, that's recorded, that they said among themselves, look, this is too much, you know. We just spend all day talking about Krishna, thinking about Krishna, and he doesn't care for us at all. Let's just forget it. Just forget Krishna. Then we'll be much happier. Now, why are we always lamenting over this person? He doesn't care for us at all. So they made an agreement among themselves. Okay, from now on, we're never going to think about Krishna, we're never going to talk about Krishna. But they were unsuccessful. It was beyond their capacity to do anything but think of Krishna. So that is the difference. Ordinary people, they are engaged in kutumba bhara, simply looking after their families. But the difference is that in Vrindavan, the center is Krishna. So Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they're simply thinking how to look after our darling child, but their darling child happens to be Krishna. It not just happens to be Krishna, but because they are the topmost devotees of Krishna, then they have the opportunity to be his parents. And all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they have their own children, but they're more inclined toward Krishna than to their own children. And they're not envious of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, but they would also like Krishna to come and be their child. And although they make a fuss and go to Mother Yashoda and complain, he did it again. He came and broke out. We locked up all the storerooms, but again, your boy, he came and broke open the doors and broke the pots and spilled all the yogurt and fed it to the monkeys. And Krishna would say, I didn't do it. I didn't feed you. Look, he'll take their yogurt and butter and try to feed it to the monkeys, and the monkeys won't take it because he already fed them so much. He said, see, why should I steal your butter? It's so useless, even the monkeys won't take it. He's already filled them up. So in this way, they enjoyed it. Everyone was happy with Krishna, but Krishna is so kind that he actually became the children by the arrangement of his yoga maya potency. He actually became the children of all the cowherd men and women in Vrindavan, the same age as the older cowherd men and women. When Brahma, he made which from his angle was a mistake of stealing all of Krishna's cowherd boys, but Krishna expanded himself as those cowherd boys, and in this way all the cowherd men and women had the opportunity to have Krishna directly as their son, and all the cows had the opportunity also to have Krishna as their calf, so that they could directly feed Krishna their milk. So it appeared that they were just looking after their children like ordinary attached householders. But because their child was Krishna, that attachment, which is normally the cause of terrible suffering and repeated birth and death, bondage in this material world, that became the cause. Actually, they're already fully liberated souls, but here it's mentioned they were elevated to the supreme planet. So it's quite complex how this all works, this Krishna's pastimes. On the one hand, it was a mistake by Brahma. He shouldn't have done that, to steal the cowherd boys and the calves. Of course, we shouldn't say that, because he's also our guru. So it becomes more complex, because from one perspective, yes, he shouldn't have done it. From another perspective, we have to understand that whatever great personalities do, that is not to be blamed. But the result of that is that the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they all got Krishna as their child, and it was demonstrated to Brahma the opulence of Krishna, which is still recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam, so we may take advantage of that. That Brahma's opulence, which appears to be insurpassable in this material world, is it's just not even slightly comparable to that of Krishna's. Even though Krishna was the very reason that Brahma was doubting Krishna, is that Krishna appeared to be just a very insignificant cowherd boy. There are so many cowherd boys. Even today, you'll see, they'll run around with a stick and chase the cows. And who wants to be like that? Everyone wants to be a computer engineer. No one wants to be a cowherd boy. Actually, that culture is going to be finished now, because no one wants to be a cowherd boy anymore. So then no one will herd the cows, and then they'll all have to be put in factory farms and then slaughterhouses. All the degradation of society, all those, they're having the war against poverty, which means they want to make everyone a demon. That's what it actually means. It's the war against simple living and pious culture, which they call what they call poverty is to live simply and remember Krishna. But they think it's poverty if you don't have electricity and air conditioning and all these different things. So Krishna was living very simply and appeared to be not even very cultured. Vaishya, don't mind if you're coming from Vaishya caste, I'm from much lower. I mean, I'm not even from any caste. I'm not even outcast, because to be an outcast you have to be cast out, but I didn't even start anywhere near any caste. So anyway, Vaishyas are considered rather low class. It's, what is that? Sriyo Vaishyas Tata Shudras, they're clubbed in the lower classes. So the Vaishyas are not very cultured, considered. And Brahma, the topmost Brahmana, born of Garbhodakshai Vishnu, very high parentage, you see. This little boy, Krishna, I thought he was my father, I thought he was God, but he's running here barefoot, he doesn't even have any shoes on. And he's got this village food, some yogurt mixed with fruit, and he's holding his left hand. He doesn't even have enough culture to keep it in his right hand. And all the boys, they're sitting and eating, and someone's stealing from his plate. It's not very cultured. You see, they're eating from his plate. He's not very cultured there. So Brahma had his doubt. But then, by seeing this and thinking it wasn't very cultured, Brahma actually underlined what is the difference between Vaikuntha Narayana and Vrindavan Krishna. That Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes are simply based on pure love. Whereas in Vaikuntha, love is certainly there, but it's in recognition of Krishna's greatness. Whereas in Vrindavan, it's beyond the imagination of the Vaikuntha Vasis. And they, even if they see it, they might think there's something wrong with this. And you can't. You see the young boys in Vrindavan, they'll jump on Krishna's back. And in Vaikuntha, the Vaikuntha Vasis will be horrified. How can you do that? How can you jump? He's God. You can't jump on his back. So Vrindavan is a secret. It's of course, you may wonder, how is it secret? Because everyone in North India, everyone knows, everyone's heard of, especially in North India, everyone's heard of Krishna, and they know at least to some extent about Radha Krishna Leela. Recently I was staying in Govardhan, at least superficially. I was there in Govardhan for some 2 weeks, something like that. And every night, because it's very hot, the village people are coming doing parikrama at night. So they're all chanting Radhe Radhe Sham Ko Milade. So they all know about Radha Krishna, which actually is a very secret subject matter. It's not really meant for anyone and everyone to know about, because the tendency to misconstrue it is very strong, which is why Srila Prabhupada, he was very cautious, very, very cautious in this regard. He presented, here is Srimad Bhagavatam, here is Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he personally took pleasure in hearing about the pastimes of Krishna. One devotee was relating how Prabhupada had asked him to read Krishna book, and Prabhupada was just loving it. He was sitting and listening, and when Krishna's killing the demons, Prabhupada is laughing, enjoying. He's very, very much enjoying Krishna Leela. But at the same time, he was very, very cautious. He didn't talk about it as if it's something very cheap or that his own spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he set the tone that how we should approach or how we should understand Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, that Pujala Raga Paka Gaurava Bhanga, that he referring to his own disciples, he was saying that they worshipped the Raga Paka. We don't, the path of unrestrained love for Krishna, that is the special prerogative of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, we worship that. We maintain a mood of awe and reverence, but towards that path of unrestricted devotion. We're not the devotees of, or the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're mostly that their ultimate aim is to serve Radha Madan Mohan in, here it's mentioned, in Gokulam, the highest planet. Srila Prabhupada has translated this as the highest planet. So, that is the aim, but at the same time, to worship Madan Mohan, one first of all has to become free from the clutches of Madan. the God of love of this material world. So, we pray to Madan Mohan. How do we pray to Madan Mohan? Jayatam surato pangar mama manda mater gatihi mad sarvasva padam bhojo radha madan mohan. That our attraction for Krishna, our relationship with Krishna, there are three deities, the three principal deities of Vrindavan, Madan Mohan, Govinda and Gopinath. So first of all, we establish our relationship with Radha Madan Mohan, who Krishna is Madan Mohan, who is what is that? Koti Kamadev. We sing every day. What is that? Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shogham. His beauty is such that millions of cupids, more attractive than millions of Kamadev. Kamadev, he incites lust that in the conditioned soul. In the Bhagavatam, it's related in the 11th canto how Krishna also appears in this world. One of his forms is Nara Narayana, and he shows the path of austerity by himself personally living at Bhadarik Ashram and accepting severe austerities. So Indradev, he generally becomes disturbed when he sees any rishi performing austerities. So his usual thing, and his usual trick, is he sends some beautiful girls from the heavenly world to break the meditation of the rishis. Because mostly, you see, it's Atma Vatmanyate Jagat. He thinks, well, I performed austerities and I became Indra, so they must be doing it because they want to enjoy. It's work now, samadhi later on the material platform. Do your austerities now and enjoy later. So you do austerities, then you get some shakti, and then you can enjoy. So Indra was thinking that this Narayan Rishi, he's doing austerities by his power that he attains from that, then he'll take over my position. So just send some pretty girls, and then he'll think that why am I bothering with these austerities? I can enjoy right now, and with this nice pretty girl, and in this way I'll cheat them. They won't be able to take over my position. So he did that, and Narayan Rishi, they went with Kamadev, who created a nice spring atmosphere. They're all afraid to go, as usual, because they're afraid of being cursed. So they were doing their display with the spring, and nice springtime music, and beautiful girls dancing, and Narayan Rishi looked and said, oh, "Welcome to our ashram." And they were afraid, "Oh, he hasn't been attracted, now he's going to curse us." He said, "No, no, welcome to our ashram. You like young girls? Here, choose one." And he made a display by his own mystic power, he's the Supreme Lord, of many girls who were all far more beautiful than those that Indra had even imagined. "You like girls? Here, take one, I've got plenty. I don't need your girls." So, Krishna, he defeats the god of love in every respect. He defeats by not being in, there's no interest in mundane women. And even Madan, whose business is Madan, to drive people crazy, he himself becomes bewildered by Madan Mohan. So we pray to Madan Mohan that I can establish my relationship with you when I stop trying to have relationships like everyone else has relationships in this world on the mundane platform. So the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they appear to be like ordinary mundaners, but they were actually far beyond the kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya of this material world, because they were fully absorbed in love of Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, all glories to Jayatam Surutopanga. All glories to Radha and Madan Mohan. By praying to them, we can be free from the lust of this material world. And even if we don't become great scholars or great highly austere rishis, I don't think any of us are going to become very great scholars or highly austere or any such things. But if we absorb all our activities, like the inhabitants of Vrindavan, simply working for Krishna, everything. What is that? Krishnarte akila cheshta. All our activities simply for Krishna. That is the lesson to be learned. That is Raga Noga Bhakti, or Raga Bhakti. That simply we want to do everything for the pleasure of Krishna. The inhabitants of Vrindavan, they weren't great scholars or highly austere, but they simply loved Krishna. And they did everything for Krishna. And that is the highest perfection. Hare Krishna. You want to say anything, Maharaj? Anyone like to make any comment? Question? All right, then we'll say Jayatam Subhato Pandor Mama Mandamate Gatihi Matsaravasva Padam Bhojo Ragha Madana Mohano. All glories to Bhakti Charu Maharaj, who has brought Radha Madan Mohan here, brought Vrindavan here. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.